Welcome, everybody, to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It might be July, the end of July, but we're still talking hockey because there's still stuff going down in Caps world. And, of course, Skyping in with me, we've got Coach Dan Hayden. What's up, man?
I'm doing good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. You know, a lot, not too much has been going on in Caps world, but we do have one or two things kind of popping up, keeping us on the air right now. So let's start this off with a guy that I was very happy to hear Saturday morning had signed with the Capitals, and then comes the afternoon, he's no longer a Capital. Keith Aucoin has moved on, and he is now in Toronto, and he is a Maple Leaf / Marley. I'm very sad to see him go, but I don't know. I was very happy Saturday morning, and you just kind of brought me down.
Well, I remember I got up, and then I forgot to turn on my phone. And then I finally turned on my phone, and I got a text from you saying that he had signed. I was like, oh, get the guy for Hershey with all the other guys they've been signing with Volsky and Crabbe and everything, the moves they've made. I don't really see a spot for him. Like, I don't know where they were going to put him.
Yeah.
And then I went online, and I was looking on Twitter and TSN and Roto World, all these different places, and they were saying, he may not have been signed with the Capitals. I'm going, okay. That's a little weird. Like, you know, what team is he playing for? And the Caps were denying it. And I was like, okay, well, if they're denying it, either the deal isn't done yet, or he's not signing there at all.
Right.
And then the guy who initially reported it came out and said, my bad. What I actually meant was he signed with Toronto. Oh, good job. So, yeah. So he's in Toronto. And really, it's the best thing for him because the guy is, unfortunately, a career AHL player. He'll get the occasional call-up, fill in for someone who's injured, sort of things like that. But Toronto, the Maple Leafs, have their minor league affiliate in Toronto. So his family won't have to go back and forth. I know from Hershey to D.C. it's only 2 hours, but that's still 2 hours away from your family, from your wife and your kids. Or kid, I don't know. He's got, and so it's a little rough for him and for all the players after that. We think of them as just hockey players, but they are still people, and they do have families and kids and things like that. So it'll be nice for him that no matter which team he's playing for, whether it's the Maple Leafs or the Marlies, his family will still be there to watch him. They'll still be around all the time. So I think for him, it was a great thing. Unfortunately, he's not playing for the Caps anymore, but you know, it's the best thing for him in the end, I think.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. I'm very sad to see him go. I'm a big fan of Aucoin. I thought he was a great addition to the team in the playoffs last year. But like you are talking about, he is a new father. He had him and his wife had his kid, I think, during the playoffs this past season. So the fact that he was hunting for an NHL contract and didn't get it, signing with Toronto where the NHL and AHL teams are in the same place, maybe that did help him kind of come to terms with the fact that he wasn't getting a one-way ticket. He was still getting a two-way ticket in between the two leagues. So there might be – that might have come into his decision-making, I guess. I'm sad to see him go, though. I wish he wasn't in Toronto. I wish he was still in D.C. I wish he was a full-time Capital, but – sometimes the way it goes, and it's not the first or last free agent that the Capitals have lost this year. So it'll be very interesting to see where he goes, if he does come up to the main roster for the Maple Leafs, or if he doesn't. But best of luck to Keith Aucoin. And when there is one loss, of course, there is some gain here. The Capitals have a new addition to their team. Tell us a little bit about this guy.
Well, the Caps went out and brought themselves Tim Hunter. They brought in the old coach. They brought in – he used to be here under Ron Wilson, which I thought was pretty interesting. When I found out that they brought him in, I was going, wait, I know this name. I've seen him before. I was like, oh, right. He coached under Ron Wilson. And so it was pretty cool to bring him back. And I think the most interesting thing about him is that he coached Calle Johansson, who's now his colleague. And he coached Adam Oates, who is now his colleague and I guess kind of his boss. So – not his boss, but you know what I mean? Like his head coach. So it's kind of, I don't know if there's sort of a weird dynamic in play there and if that's going to work out, but I'm pretty sure everything's going to be fine. And I read an interview with him after he had been hired. He said he called himself a career assistant coach, which goes to show that he knows what he's doing.
Right.
He's very experienced. He's been around a long time, although this is the first time he's been an assistant coach under anyone that wasn't Ron Wilson.
Right.
So that'll be interesting to see how he does without him. I think it might be a little weird at first for Oates, and Oates will have to lean on him to some extent for some help, but I think in the end, it'll do good to have that one experienced guy. I was a little concerned when they hired Oates. I was like, okay, good. And they brought in Calle Johansson. I'm like, okay, we have two first-time coaches sort of in the league. Calle Johansson, first-time coach pretty much anywhere. He coached 1 year in Sweden as an assistant coach and hasn't done anything else in terms of coaching. And Oates was assistant coach for a while, but he hasn't been a head coach. So they really need to bring in someone with experience. I think they did the right thing in bringing in Tim Hunter. I think it'll go well. But I guess we'll find out in camp sort of how things go and how the dynamic there play out.
Yeah, you know, it'll be very interesting to see what happens. I did like the picture that they posted, I think, on Instagram of Tim Hunter. and it's him coaching Adam Oates. It's like them.
I did see that.
Adam Oates and
Callie Johansson.
Yeah, Callie Johansson. It's going to take me so long to get these names right. It's a whole new roster we have to remember now. But there's a picture of him in his uniform, and then those guys being coached by them. So it'll be very interesting to see. He says he's a career assistant coach, which I think is very interesting. So the guy knows what he's doing, and this isn't his first time coaching in D.C., so he does have a lot of history here. So it'll be very interesting to see what he brings to the team.
Well, he has a connection to George McPhee because Tim Bonner was playing in Vancouver while McPhee was one of the assistants over there, and he was working in the Canucks organization. So he has a connection with the area. He has a connection with McPhee. He has a connection with Oates and Johansson. He's been an assistant coach for a long time, so he's definitely an experienced guy that they definitely needed to bring in. I think it's a good move, and we'll see how it plays out in training camp and going into the regular season. But I like that they brought an experienced guy. If they brought in another inexperienced coach, I would have been pretty concerned going in to see how all of the new guys sort of fit together, because it's not just about having the new players come in. When you have new coaches, they have to figure out, can they work together? Are they going to be on the same page when they're teaching these players how to play the style of hockey they want to play?
Absolutely. And we're going to talk a little bit here. This is kind of going to affect the Capitals in the next coming years. But our big special last week, if you heard it, if you didn't, go to iTunes, search What the Puck, What the Puck Caps, anything like that, and our podcast will come up, and you'll see our FanFest podcast is up there. And we have a couple good interviews. But Dan and I were talking, and Dan actually said that there was a Russian goalie that really caught his eyes, and it was Sergei... I'm so sorry about this, buddy. Kostenko, I believe.
The goalie, yeah.
The goalie. He was drafted 203rd overall in this past year's draft. Apparently, he has voided his contract with the KHL and is going to be coming over here and signing with the Capitals. And
yeah.
It looks like he will be participating in the Reading Royals roster this year. So instead of being a Stingray, he's going to be a Royal, but it looks like he's going to be coming over here now. And it'll be very interesting to see what he does. And I mean, it seems like this guy didn't have that great of a season over in Russia last year. He got drafted, and it was kind of like, well, you know, he's good. We'll see what happens. Then he goes to developmental and blows everybody away.
Yeah, he was phenomenal in development camp. He was the one that was playing for the red team in the first period and then the first 12 minutes or so. And I thought he was great. I thought he really did a good job. He really caught my eye because I was like, that's the guy that was drafted in the seventh round. Like, you wouldn't expect him to come in and just blow everybody away. His side-to-side was really good. The one thing I needed to work on, I thought, was getting sort of more side-to-side. Like, he was really quick, but he wasn't getting all the way across
right. From
post-to-post. So, but he's a young guy. We'll see how he does. There's no spots for him in Hershey with Philip Grubauer there and Danny Sabourin. So he'll be in Reading. It certainly sounds better being a Royal, I think, than being a Stingray. You know, like a Royal certainly sounds more interesting.
Distinguished.
I'm a Stingray. Yay. Like, yeah. Anyway, so I think it'll be good for him. Kostenko. I do like that he went and he told the KHL, you know what, never mind. I don't want to play for you anymore.
I'm good.
He's going to come over and play in North America, which I think is a smart thing to do because you got to learn the game over here in North America. It's different than it is over in Europe. So we'll see how that goes. It'd be nice if another Russian player at the Caps drafted, Yevgeny Kuznetsov, if he would come over and void his deal with KHL, because I think he can make the Caps roster right now and be one of the top six guys. But he's over there, and there's some rumors as to what's going on. No one really knows. Doesn't matter. The point is, this guy's coming over. I think he's doing the right thing. He'll be one of those names to watch the next couple of years, because we know what's going to happen. Eventually, the Caps are going to have to decide between whether they want to go with Braden Holtby and Michael Norvirth, and then they're going to have to decide between whichever one of those guys they want, and Philip Grubauer probably, and then you got Kostenko coming along, and then you could have Soberg in a few years. They definitely have a lot of goalies, and these are all also trade guys you can trade. I mean, look what they did with the Varlamov trade. They turned him into, what, a first-round pick and a second-round pick.
Yeah.
And then they turned that second-round pick into Mike Ribeiro with Kodikin. So, you use these assets and you turn them into other things, into more draft picks, or you use these assets and you turn them into trading for players that can help your team right now. There's guys out there that they could trade for to help this team right now, because I still think they need a first-line right winger. I don't think there's anybody on the roster right now that is truly a first-line right winger. You could say someone like a Brooks-like or a Troy Brouwer could be that, maybe a Volsky if he actually ends up remembering how to play hockey. So I think they definitely need to go out and get a first-line right wing, and I don't think Kostenko right now is a guy that can go out and get you that first line right wing.
Right.
But that's what I'm saying. They have chips. They have guys they can use. And constantly having these depth players that can come up in a few years are assets that you could one day decide to move to bring in other pieces for your team.
Absolutely. And it looks like the Capitals are really lucky with goalies. I mean, this guy was a late round draft pick, but he really blew people away during developmental. Now he's going to learn the system, like you said, in Reading, in Pennsylvania, and who knows what'll happen in a season. You know, he might show real promise and move up to Hershey in 1 year, and then he'll get moved around a couple different places. Who knows what'll happen, but it seems like there's a lot of promise for this guy, and I think we're going to go to Reading and see this guy play at least one point in the season, so that'll be pretty fun to have a name already attached to a place like that you actually want to go see.
There may be a possibility to see him in Hershey at some point. You know, if you had, let's say somebody, knock on wood, somebody gets injured in Washington, whether it's Neuwirth or Holpe, you got to bring up a guy. If it's going to be for a couple of games, maybe they bring up Filip Grubauer. So now they need someone else to play in Hershey. Maybe bring up Kostenko. Maybe he plays a couple of games in Hershey. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, you don't have to go quite as far as Reading, which I think is, Hershey's what, 2 hours? I think Reading's 4 or 5.
Reading? No, they're next to each other. I mean,
4, 5, 6, 7. I don't know how many hours. It's somewhere.
That's actually closer to Boston, you know, 8 hours away.
Yeah, we should probably look that up. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You could potentially see him later. My guess is that he'll be spending the next year or two in Reading, and then maybe a year in Hershey. So I think he's at least 3 years away from really making an impact in D.C., but you never know. Sure. Maybe Grubauer ends up having a really great season. They decide to move out Holpe or Neuwirth and bring Grubauer up next season, and then you have a spot opened in Hershey to bring up Kostenko. So we'll see what happens. They also have Soberg hanging around. We don't know really what they're going to do with him just yet. So they certainly have a lot of options, and it's going to be fun to watch and sort of keep your eye on these guys as their careers grow and to see where they end up.
Absolutely. And, you know, other people that we're watching and we're waiting for them to grow and move and do something, we're still on Semin watch here. Alex Semin's one of the only guys left, really, and we'll talk about who isn't in the free agent market anymore later on. But Alex Semin and Mike Knubel still out there for anybody to pick up as free agents. There's not been a lot of news with Semin. Semin's agent has come out and said, the Capitals ask us every day to come back. But again, Russian agent. Yeah, exactly. You know, whatever, dude. You're just trying to get people to bite, but nobody's biting. You've heard some things like Carolina looks like they're interested. One or two other teams have kind of done stuff, but nobody's moving really with them. So we're waiting to see what happens to Alex Semin. But there was one interview that I saw with Mike Knubel who said that it has been eerily quiet on the free agency market for him. So it seems like his phone hasn't really been ringing that much. And there's talk that he might be retiring as an NHL player, at least for a season, because he is about to turn 40. So it's looking like Mike Knubel might be calling it quits unless a team like the Red Wings, that's a place he wants to go, because that's where he started his NHL career. That's where he'd like to end it, with the Red Wings. So be interesting to see what happens to Mike Knubel in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I'm surprised that no one's sort of taken a chance on him or even signed him to a minor league deal.
Yeah.
See if maybe he can, you know, give him a shot at coming into training, or not even a minor league deal, but like an invitation to training camp. I wouldn't be surprised if, as we get closer to September, that somebody sends an offer to him saying, hey, we'd like you to come in for training camp and see how you do. And if I'm him, I'm taking, give it a shot if he still wants to play. I hope he doesn't retire, because the guy still has a lot of heart. He has a lot of energy. His skills have severely diminished, as sad as it is to say that. He's not as good as he used to be. He's not a first-line player anymore. He's a third- or fourth-line guy. But he still has a lot to give to a team, and I think he'll be on someone's roster come October. And I hope that I didn't just basically say he's retiring now, that I've cost him. Yeah, I am the jinx. So hopefully I haven't just cost him a job. But I think he'll end up somewhere. I think some team will give him a shot, because he still has qualities and enough skill that he can help out someone like the Red Wings if they miss out on a couple of players, or someone like maybe a team like Phoenix, who's looking for someone to play on the third or fourth line, or a team with a lot of young guys. Like, I hate to say it, but even a team like maybe like a Columbus, who has a lot of young guys and they need this veteran presence in there, someone that can help them. Or Florida, I would hate it, but you know, maybe they want a veteran guy like that.
Hey, they love Florida's, former Capitals. That's their thing down there.
They do love to take all of our leftovers. So, you know, you never know. Maybe they take him, maybe not. I think someone's going to pick him up. It is kind of – I'm surprised if he said it's as quiet as it is. Maybe he just hasn't gotten a deal he likes yet.
Maybe.
But I'm surprised that no one's calling him.
Yeah, you know, I like Mike Canu, but like you said, he's a veteran. He's somebody that I would think would be you'd want in the locker room to kind of rally the troops and to tell them, I've been there before, and this is what you got to do, and this, that, whatever. But I don't know. I would love to see Mike Canu end up somewhere just for Mike Canu. I don't want to see him in another jersey, but, you know, that's the way it kind of goes in the NHL. So it's kind of – you got to get used to that type of thing. But Mike Canu, I hope he finds something, and I hope he can still play hockey because he's somebody who loves the game. It's hard to find people that truly love the game that they're in and don't want to stop. And it's not somebody like you know, if, I don't know if anybody else is a fan, but somebody like Jágr, who you can tell is just kind of in it for the money. And he's like, yeah, you know, I'll go wherever's got the highest price. Mike Canu seems like somebody who – has an idea of what he wants to do, and he wants to do it for the passion and love of the game. And you gotta love a player like that.
Yeah, I think someone's gonna give him a shot because they know what he's like in the locker room. They know how he can help, especially with a lot of young guys. It'll be interesting to see. Detroit sort of had a rough offseason. They haven't really picked up any of the guys that they want. So I wouldn't be surprised if they go out and bring him in and sort of have him help. They wouldn't need his leadership necessarily, but I think they could use some productivity from him on the third and fourth lines, especially if they miss out on all the other players that they'd like to have. They missed out on Parise, they missed out on Suter, they missed out on Weber, they missed out on Nash. I mean, is there anybody else they want to miss out on this offseason? They're missing out, Hudler left. So yeah, but they, like, Detroit's had a rough offseason, so I wouldn't be surprised if they still take a shot at him at some point, or an Alexander Semin, who's, you know, still out there.
Yeah, there's plenty of options. Hopefully Mike Canu can find something. But we're going to take a quick break here. What was really cool last time, you got to hear our interview with John Walton from the Caps Fan Fest. I got to talk to Wes Johnson, who is the PA announcer for the Capitals. And if you ever go to Verizon Center, the phone booth, you know this guy's voice. He knows how to unleash the fury and rock the red and say, Alexander Ovechkin, over the PA announcement and get you all hyped up. And he talks to me and gives us a great little interview. So we're going to cut to that, and then we'll be back here, and we're going to talk about some NHL news just around the league. Dan, we got apparently there's been some big signings apparently from some people. I don't know.
Well, we had one big deal and one big trade, but we'll talk about that when we come back.
Absolutely. So stay with us. This is What the Puck, and check out our interview with Wes Johnson. All right, this will be like Wes Johnson. He's a great
guy. He does stuff, and he's talking to us, and it's a lot of fun.
Hi, I'm Red Rocker Michelle, and you're listening to What the Puck.
All right, welcome back to What the Puck. Thanks for listening so far. And I'm at the Caps Fan Fest. And I ran into a good buddy of mine, Wes Johnson. What's going on, man?
Hey, just having a good time. It's a party.
Now, everybody heard that name, then they heard that voice, and they're like, I know who that guy is, immediately.
Well, if they didn't know the voice this way, they'd know it like, you're Washington Capitals.
Now, when you go out in public, do people just come up to you and say, can you just say my name in that kind of voice?
Yeah, normally, though, they're holding out a phone and saying, do my voicemail.
Oh, your voicemail. Yeah. Well, you've been with the Capitals a couple of years now. What's it like to be inside the Verizon Center for all those home games, especially when, I mean, they're sold out so many times, and to hear the crowd and to have a game going our way, not going our way? What are you feeling when you're so close to the ice seeing all that action?
Well, I've been with the Caps for over 12 years, and watching it grow from how it was before the last lockout, and then watching the team with Ovi, and then we had Coach Boudreau come in, and transitioning through the years to where we're at now with Coach Oates, and even the crowd here today, it's just grown. Like the crowd itself should be tested for steroids. You know what I mean? Because it's the fan base has grown powerful, very dedicated, and you've got a group of people who when other teams come into our arena, it's an intimidating place to play and to visit, you know, unless, of course, you're very, very drunk. And as we all know, many of the teams from Pennsylvania bus in those.
Of course. That's, you know, and of course, they stop at the Hooters right beforehand and get a little bit more drinking right before the game.
Well, I guess that's what hockey's all about.
Of course. Of course. So let me ask you this. When you're on the ice and let's say somebody on a team that we're against makes a goal or gets a penalty or something, and you look down to that paper and you see their name, and maybe it's not the easiest name to say, do you just kind of look at that paper for a second and go, whoa, how do I do this now? Like, what?
Well, I mean, we have a league pronunciation guide, and before the game starts, I usually consult with that. I'll check with that. If I'm really concerned, I contact the other team's press folks who are upstairs in our press area and get pronunciations beforehand. So I do have their pronunciations ready to go. That being said, I'm never too happy to read them when they score a goal.
I don't like hearing that either.
Yeah.
That's why when everybody's in Verizon Center, you announce it, they just yell, who cares?
Yeah, I'm waiting for them. Sometimes the rhythm's a little off. It gets interrupted by something. But what I love is when I'm calling the other team's goal and we score in the middle of that. You know, then I don't mind. And I don't think the fans mind not being able to say who cares at that point.
Yeah, you know, if there's a goal, the light's on, and everybody's screaming, we're happy anyway. So let me ask you, when Unleash the Fury happens, and you're screaming, and your face is turning red, if you were to write a book, would it be called, like, 50 Shades of Red at this point?
I don't think it would be nearly as popular with the ladies. But, yeah, I mean, the guys in the penalty box take bets to see when I'm going to have an aneurysm during the Unleash the Fury. But it's okay. I've lost about 20 pounds this offseason. I'm planning to lose more. I'll be in fighting shape, and I'll be able to unleash even more fury by the time the season gets here. It's a lot of fun doing that. The crowd gets into it. It actually pumps up the players. It's a really fun tradition.
Absolutely. I love going to the Verizon Center. One of the greatest things about going to see them live, besides the actual play, is hearing you and how excited you get on the PA announcements. And so if people want to get in contact with you, follow you on Twitter, that kind of stuff, where can people get in contact with you?
I am on Twitter at Wes Johnson Voice. You can follow me there. And I hope to see everybody at the games, because fact of the matter is, the more the merrier when rocking the red.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to What the Puck!
All right, welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you, Wes Johnson, for talking to me and being such a cool dude at FanFest. Really nice guy. You ever see him out in public, just go shake his hand and tell him he's a good guy. We're back here on the show, and Dan's got some news for us just around the league about the NHL, and we've got some trades and some all kinds of stuff going on. So, Dan, just fill us in, man.
Well, the first biggest thing that happened was when Shea Weber signed. He's a restricted free agent. He got signed to an offer sheet from the Philadelphia Flyers for 14 years, $110 million.
Wow.
Which is a huge deal from the Flyers. Comes out to a cap hit of $7.857 million.
Jeez.
That is a big deal. I'd have to look up the numbers, but I don't know if that's the richest defensive contract. It's got to be him, or is it Dan Oshara in Boston that have the most expensive defensive contract now,
right,
in the league? And it took him a couple of days, and there was a lot of rumors going around saying that Nashville would let him go, and they'd just take the draft picks. There were some rumors going around saying that they were going to match it and then trade him to Philly for a couple of guys. Wade Simmons' name was thrown out there. There's a couple other guys. Sean Couturier's name was thrown out there. So no one really knew what was going to happen. And then just the other day, Nashville was like, you know what? We'll keep him. He's our guy. We'll keep him. And everyone in the NHL went, yeah, you will, because you lost out on Suter. And if you're going to lose him, you got to keep your other guy. Because if you lose him too, there's Pekka Rinne going, guys, where's everybody going? I signed my deal. Why isn't anybody else staying? Nashville's a team that I don't know how much money the owners have, but they're not going to spend all the way up to the cap. So I was a little surprised that they matched this deal, which is why I still think that there's a chance that Philly or somebody else is going to end up trading for Weber.
Uh-huh.
I would not be surprised. So that's sort of something to keep your eye out for and see if it goes down at some point during the offseason. But it's going to be hard to trade him now with that huge contract. $7.857 million cap hit. That is an enormous cap hit.
That's huge.
Later on, if the cap stays where it's at, it'll be a little easier. But with the negotiations going right now, if the cap ceiling comes down with the way contracts already are, it's going to be hard to move something like that and be able to fit him in. You're going to have to move out a lot of players potentially with high contracts, unless you move his high contract for another, which still doesn't help Nashville. So it'll be interesting to see what they decide to do. But that is a big deal. But if anything, it shows a commitment to the team, it shows a commitment to him. But the fact that he signed an offer sheet from another team, it makes you wonder, does he really want to be in Nashville right now? Does he want to stick around?
Yeah. Yeah.
And play for them?
Think what he's going to do next season, if he already signed an offer deal with another team. Is he just going to coax through this season in Nashville, or is he actually going to, you know, play his heart out? I don't know if he'd actually play his heart out if somebody who wants to leave.
Well, the way his contract is right now, he might not be able to leave. So
yeah.
He made the decision. He knew what the chances were, you know, to an extent 50-50, either Nashville matches or they don't. So, and he ended up back in Nashville. So I think he liked playing there. I never heard him say anything negative about it. Even when he signed the offer sheet, he didn't say anything negative about Nashville. Maybe this was his way of forcing their hand to sign him to a new contract and the money he wanted. And it's a risk. But in the end, I think it worked out for Nashville. It worked out for everybody else in the Eastern Conference because the Flyers really don't need to have a guy like him. They already have a talented enough defense.
Right.
Put Shea Weber on the Flyers. Oh, my Lord, I do not want to play against that team. So it's like Shea Weber versus Jeff Schultz. Not really fair. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out for Nashville in the long run because that's a big chunk of their cap space, especially if the cap ceiling goes down. And then the other big news, one that I was a little surprised to hear about considering the return, even though it wasn't that bad, was that Rick Nash, who's been asking for a trade since January, finally got traded to the New York Rangers.
Wow.
Yeah. I was a little surprised. I really thought in the end he was always going to Philly, so they missed out on two guys with Weber and Nash. But, yeah, Rick Nash is now a member of the New York Rangers, and he got traded for Brandon Dubinsky, whose name has been in rumors leaving New York for over a year now. Artem Anisimov, defenseman Tim Erickson, and a first-round draft pick in 2013. So it's a pretty good return for Columbus, considering how long they were holding out.
Yeah.
They get a couple of guys, especially Tim Erickson, and the Rangers also got a third-round pick and a minor league defenseman from Columbus. But I think in the end, the Rangers win the deal because if you look at their offense now, they have Rick Nash, Marian Gaborik, Ryan Callahan, and Brad Richards.
Wow.
That is a pretty decent top four. That is dangerous. Dangerous top four. Those guys can score, provided that Gaborik hasn't broken his glass hip or something, or groin, or any other part of his body that is made out of glass.
Is he related to Mike Green in some way?
I wouldn't be surprised. Even out Gaborik, that's Nash, Callahan, and Richards, just to name three. That's still pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
But in the end, Columbus, they're pretty good. They can put him around when they drafted Ryan Murphy, compare him potentially in the future with Tim Erickson. You've got Ryan Johansson, who looks like they're going to be their big guy now to sort of hang on to and build this team around. I think Columbus did the right thing in moving him because they had a disgruntled player that wasn't going to stick around, and now they're going to be able to spread the scoring out and not just have every team focused on stopping Rick Nash. And, you know, the game plan isn't always give it to Nash. Get the puck to Nash.
Right.
Now, it'd be interesting to see how Nash handles the media in New York. Nowhere in the U.S. or North America is the media quite like it is in New York City. We've seen players go to New York, especially with the Yankees in Major League Baseball, where they are great players, and they go to New York, and they just can't handle the media, and it kills their career.
Oh, yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how Nash does there in terms of the media. It's a little less because they don't follow hockey quite the same way they do baseball and football, so it'll be fun to watch, see how things go. The Rangers certainly are now one of the teams to beat in the East. I mean, they were already a very talented team. With or without him, they had Henrik Lundqvist.
Yeah, I mean, they were the number one seed this past year.
Yeah, with that kind of goalie and the coaching they have, as crazy as John Tortorella is, he's a phenomenal coach, and it'll be interesting to see how they do. I think they're definitely one of the teams to beat now coming out of the Atlantic and coming out of the East.
Absolutely.
I mean, other than that, it's been pretty quiet. There's nothing else really going on.
Yeah, this is kind of the Russian machine never breaks. They brought this up. We're entering the dead zone of the hockey season, where not a lot's going on, and there's only one or two big news stories a week. So it'll be interesting to see what happens to us and how we're going to handle this.
It's the final episode of What the Puck, because we have nothing else to talk about. Now, there's a couple things going on. I think in the next week or so, we're going to see Shane Doan sign with somebody. He's been waiting. I think he wants to go back to Phoenix. That's the biggest thing on his mind,
right?
Is he wants to stay there. He wants to play in Phoenix, but he doesn't know what the ownership situation is like. So he's going out, and he's scouting around. He's looking. I heard he was in Philly. I heard he was in New York. I heard he was in Detroit. I heard he was in Chicago, apparently, at one point he may have been. He's sort of looking around, seeing, you know, what he wants to do potentially if he doesn't go back to Phoenix. I'd love to have him in D.C. He'd be perfect for the first-line right-wing spot. He'd be a great guy to have in the locker room. I think he's going to go somewhere in the next week or so. And then there's Alexander Semin we talked about earlier. I mean, these are the two biggest names that are still out there that I can think of. And I certainly think that Doan's going to sign the next week or so. Alex Semin, no clue. I think part of the reason, he just has a bad reputation.
Yeah.
I don't think he's as bad a player as these guys, everybody's, especially TSN, when they verbally attacked him and assaulted
just trashed him,
a month or so ago. He's not as bad. When he's on the Capitals, he is arguably has the most talent in that locker room, and that includes Alexander Ovechkin. He's not a bull in the China shop like Ovechkin is, but I think he has the best shot and the best puck handling skills on that team. If they bring him back at, let's say, he wants a multi-year deal. I think that's part of the problem. A couple of teams are looking for him. Carolina's GM came out and said that They were looking at him, but they wouldn't want to sign him to more than a one-year deal. And I think Semin wants a long-term deal. So I wouldn't mind him having him back in D.C. Maybe a three-year deal at a cap hit, you know, somewhere around $5 million. I would take that and see what I have. I think he's certainly a guy to bring in if he's motivated. One of the most interesting things about Alex Semin is when Jason Arnott came in, he said Arnott didn't understand why no one's talking to Semin. No one really communicates with him. And his first biggest thing he did was he developed a rapport with Semin and chatted with him and made sure everything, you know, he understood what was going on and made sure they were on the same page. And I think with a guy like Oates there, maybe Cal Johansson helping out, because he was on the team when Semin was there in his first few seasons, but I might be wrong about that. But you need guys to communicate with him. And they finally have got a real second line center. It would be fun to see Ribeiro and Semin on the same line.
Yeah, it's very true. It would be very interesting to see. My biggest thing with Semin is always been when he wants to be on his own, when he doesn't want to be, he doesn't want to be. It seems like if there is the right kind of coaching staff that wants to play his type of hockey, that could be beneficial. Like you did say, when Jason Arnott came in, Arnott and Semin gelled very well together. And I was sad to see Arnott go, just for the reason that it helped Semin out, and it helped him get out of that funk of, will I be on, will I not be on? When Arnott left and Semin was left alone again, it was the same old thing. It was, is he on, is he not on? Does he want to play tonight, does he not want to play tonight? And I definitely think that reputation's hurting him. If he comes back in D.C., hopefully, since D.C. has waited this long to sign him, he kind of changes that way of thinking, and plus he does have Ovechkin there. Those two guys are buddies. They're Russian world champions right now. It'll be very interesting to see. We'll bring you all the news about Semin, when he signs, if he signs, what league, all that good stuff in the next
part of the world.
Yeah, wherever he goes, we'll figure it out, and we'll let you know, and we'll talk about it. But anything else going on? Are we pretty much done for this episode?
Well, there's nothing really going on. There's just kind of rumors and guys that are still out there. I remember reading, you know, my boy Bobby Ryan is still out there for a trade. He's a guy I wouldn't be surprised if Philly went after now, because they missed out on a couple of guys now, and I'm sure they're going to want something and make a splash. So I wouldn't be surprised if they go out and try and get a guy like a Bobby Ryan. And then I remember reading a month or so ago, sort of right around July 1st, that Keith Yandle, the defenseman Phoenix, was available. He's another guy I would love to have in D.C. I think he really could help. I don't know what his cap is at right now, but he's a guy that I certainly think could help this team in the long run. And they need to make some moves on defense anyways, because they already have too many guys. So you bring him in, you move a couple of guys out, and you get rid of a couple of guys that aren't really helping you, Jeff Schultz, and you see where you go from there. But it'll be interesting to see. I think it's going to be a little quiet once Doan signs and maybe Semin signs. I think part of the reason Semin hasn't been signed yet is, and he's waiting for an offer that he likes from the Capitals. I think he wants to go back to D.C. because that's all he's known in the U.S. so far. I think he wants to stay here because he wanted to leave because Hunter, he didn't like Hunter's style of all defense. He didn't like the way maybe necessarily they were, not treating him, but the way they were giving him less ice time. But with a new coach who's going to be more offensive-minded while still being defensive-minded, new assistant coach, a new more experienced assistant coach, and then you have all the guys he knows, and maybe potentially a second-line center that actually can match him in terms of speed and being able to set him up, I think there's a good opportunity for him there if he comes back.
If he does, this is all a big if. We don't know what's going to happen.
It's a huge if, capital letters in bold.
So in the next coming weeks, just stay tuned to Facebook and Twitter. And Dan, I think you got a new Twitter handle out there, so you got to let people know about. So whenever there's a new show or whatever, they can figure it out by following you. So what's all your new info now?
Yeah, we've made a few changes in the What the Puck Coach Dan area. If you want to follow me on Facebook, follow me on facebook.com/WTP podcast. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me at WTP Coach Dan.
Coach Dan, I like it. Coach
and
Dan.
Brandon, if you want to follow you in all of your great shows, where should they look?
Well, if you're interested in me, you can, of course, follow me on Twitter at BrandoCash. And to find out about What the Puck and all of the episodes and every show on the at BrandoCash network, you can go to facebook.com/BrandoCash with links to everything. And, of course, go to iTunes, search What the Puck, What the Puck Caps, any of those words jumbled together in iTunes search will give you this show, and make sure you click subscribe. That way, whenever we do a new show, it automatically gets downloaded right into your iTunes without you having to do a thing. It just shows up there, and you're like, oh, every week, oh, look at that, a new What the Puck. I'm so happy. They've made my day, and that is exactly what we're here to do. So make sure you go subscribe over on iTunes, and there's plenty of other shows you can follow. Three Purple Ladies I know, they're doing a show called Poe's Peep Show. That first episode aired this past Monday, so go check that out. And we got all kinds of stuff cooking up at the network, so make sure you stay tuned. Facebook.com/BrandoCash, @BrandoCash on Twitter. All kinds of good stuff out there. So Dan, that's pretty much it for this week. It's good talking to you. Hey, next week, there won't be a show for What the Puck because Dan, he's turning the ripe age of 76.
That is not even remotely accurate. No, next week is my birthday, so I'll be turning 28. But we'll do a little Twitter questionnaire. So Brandon will have a couple questions for me to answer. I may have some for him. And then if anyone else out there would like to send some questions our way at that time, feel free to send them to us. And you know, we'll get back to probably each and every one of you.
Exactly. And when you do want to have, you do have a question for Coach Dan, for both of us to find it, use the hashtag WTP podcast. Put two P's in there. WTP podcast. And you can put those questions into Coach Dan, and we'll do something that we just invented called a tweet cast.
Yeah, I like that. We're going with that. We're doing a tweet cast next week.
All right, man.
Hashtag tweet cast.
All right. Happy birthday. A little early.
Yes, sir.
And thanks so much. And, We'll talk in a couple weeks. See you later.
All right, see you, man.
This has been a production of the At